We're turning in God's Word this morning to John chapter 14. John's Gospel is chapter 14. About a portion that is familiar to every believer. Perhaps if you're not saved, even a portion that is familiar to you. Certainly I can remember in my own saved days, from my earliest days as a little child, being taught the Word in John chapter 14. And certainly when death comes, more often than not at funeral services, this portion will be referred to, in particular the early verses. Let not your heart be troubled. Jesus said, you believe in God, believe also in me. These are great words of comfort from the lips of that man who speaks, as never a man speaks, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Of course, all scripture is the word of Christ. Christ has always been the great prophet of the church. Peter tells us it was the Spirit of Christ that moved holy men of God to write. They wrote about Christ. So all scripture from Genesis to Revelation is the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is true. But nonetheless, we come here today to consider what Christ had to say upon this great subject of comfort. Perhaps you're here this morning and you are going through some great trial or tribulation, unknown to others in the congregation. We pray today, even as we read the word of the Lord together, that God will bring his word and power to each and every soul. We're bringing into this chapter, verse 15, John's Gospel, chapter 14. And the Savior said in verse 15, if ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and he in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. My Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away, and come again unto you. If ye love me, ye will rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, that the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Amen. We do know that God will bless the reading of his own holy and precious word to each and every heart. Let's bow again for prayer as we come to the proclamation of God's truth. Trust you have come to God's house this morning, seeking a word from the Lord, that you're not here merely out of sense or duty or routine. That would be here because of those reasons and not here at all. But nonetheless, we should be here today with hearts that are craving after Christ. Ears that are open to His voice. We pray today that God will speak and that we shall be not hearers only, but doers also of God's precious word. Let's unite together in prayer. Our gracious God, we do thank Thee, as Peter does declare, that holy men of God were moved by the Spirit of the Lord Jesus to speak forth the words of truth and life. We thank Thee that from Genesis to Revelation, we have the inspired, the inerrant, the infallible Word of God. And we pray as we come now to meditate upon Thy truth, that Thy Spirit would speak to every heart from the Scriptures of truth. We bind Thee that Thy Word is truth. We pray that Thou would comfort and sanctify Thy people by Thy truth this morning. We pray that Thou would speak to every heart. We pray that the children of God, the blood-bought and redeemed of the Lord, will hear Thy voice. God forbid that we should be like them that will die at the end of the pit. God forbid that the Lord will be silent unto us today. Lord, we realize that many in the community will mock at the goings-on in this house this morning. Many will blaspheme and sneer in unbelief and hatred of the things of God. And we pray that the living God, we pray that the risen Christ will come with power into this meeting place today, that we will know the real presence of the Lord, that His Spirit will come among us and speak to us and comfort us and strengthen the saints of the Lord. We pray that Thou would deal with our sins. Lord, we have sinned this week. Yea, we must confess we have sinned this day. We go further and say, already in this house we have sinned. Yet everything we do, even in our worship, is stained and tainted by our sin. But Lord, we thank Thee for the covering of the blood and the righteousness of the Lamb. And we pray today that Thou would look upon us with pleasure. Take pleasure in the saints of God. We're here not to be entertained. We're here to please the Lord. May we have that testimony that Enoch has, that we walk with God day by day. And Lord, we pray to that end that Thou would speak to our hearts now. Strengthen every believer with all spiritual might in the inner man. We do not know what a day may bring forth. We do not know what this day may bring forth. We do not know what tomorrow has in store or what lies before us in the week ahead. But Lord, we know the all-sufficiency of Jesus Christ, and we rest on Thee. And we pray now that Thy Word will prepare us and strengthen us for whatever the world is plagued or the devil would curl at us. We pray that we might serve God. Remember those who are not saved. Speak to them, we pray. Forbid that any should leave this house in their sins. We pray that men and women will go home today rejoicing in the grace and in the mercy of God. Now may the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. For we ask all these things in Christ's name and for Christ's sake. Amen. I want to turn your attention this morning to the words of John chapter 14, and the verses 16, 17, and then the verse 26. For the Lord Jesus Christ said, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Then verse 26, But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. One of the greatest needs of the human heart is the comfort that only God can give. The sad reality, of course, is that men seek after the comfort of the world. They reject the comfort of God in rejecting Jesus Christ. And man naturally seeks after the insufficient comfort of this present evil world. In order to face the trials, to face the tribulations of life in a manner that honors God, in a fashion that truly will glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I who are saved, we need the comfort of God Himself. In this portion of Scripture, we discover that the Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest, certainly knows our need better than we know it ourselves, and he certainly prays for the comfort of his people in this world. If you look there at our text in verse 16, the Savior says, "And I will pray." It's a wonderful thing, you know, when people are praying for you. As a congregation, we ought to care one for the other. As a congregation of God's people, we are called by the Lord, and not only to fellowship one with the other, but to uplift, to uphold one another at the throne of grace in prayer. As a missionary, if those who perhaps don't know anything about me, we have served in the mission field in Jamaica, also in North America, in the United States, and it's a wonderful thing when you're leaving home and you're leaving with comfort of family and friends and the church family, and people assure you of their prayers. It's a wonderful thing. We can certainly testify there have been times of great trial, times of tribulation, when we have felt and known the reality of the power of a praying people. We have known that God's people have been upholding us at the throne of grace. But equally, I know there have been many, and they said, "We're going to pray for you." Some of you said, "We're going to pray for you every day." And we've kept them later on, and they come and they confess that they failed to do so. And very often we feel to pray one for the other. I'm sure there are times when you feel to pray for others in the congregation. There have been times about when ministers have failed to pray for their congregations, their flock as they should. We all feel. We all sin. We are not yet perfect. We are growing in grace still. And certainly there are great strides to be made when it comes to the life of prayer, whether it's in public with the congregation or in the secret place when we are alone with God. But here we read of the perfect man, the God-man. And when Jesus Christ said, "I will pray," not only did he mean that, but he has fulfilled that. And the Bible testifies that we now have a man in the glory, the God-man, who has risen from the dead, ascended into heaven by and with his precious blood. I believe the resurrected Christ, and not only is his body before the Father's face, but his blood has been risen up, or raised up, and his blood is in his body, and there he stands, ever living, to make intercession for his people. Jesus Christ is praying for you. And I rejoice, even as I stand before you this morning in this pulpit, Jesus Christ is praying for me. Let the great high priest go into the tabernacle, into the holiest of all, with the breastplate and so forth, and the Old Testament scriptures show us something of the preciousness of the Church of Jesus Christ. And even so, we are precious to the Lord. We are near to His heart now as we make intercession for His Church in heaven. Christ is praying for us. And here we learn that He is praying for our comfort while with all its tribulations. Christ says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. For he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Here is comfort that the world cannot give, and here is comfort that the world cannot know. Here is comfort that is unique to the Church of Jesus Christ, to those who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. Here is comfort that is uniquely Christian. As I said earlier, many, in time of grief and mourning, even of the ungodly, they may have a form of religion, they may have a profession of religion, and certainly there will be times when they will read, for example, the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. They speak about the valley of the shadow of death, even the passage before it, let not your heart be troubled, and my Father's house are many mansions. And the ungodly may try to draw from those words some form of comfort, but if the truth be told, this is comfort that belongs to the Church of Jesus Christ. To those who have much more than a mere profession of faith, this is comfort that belongs to those who can truly say, the Lord is my shepherd. I cannot want. That doesn't mean that you'll never want a pound or two or a dollar or two, whatever. But it's speaking here of spiritual and eternal things. When I come to live for God, when I come to face death, when I come to enter into eternity, I cannot want any righteousness. I cannot want anything necessary for the eternal salvation of my soul. The Lord is my shepherd, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. It means I have Christ as my Savior, I have Christ as my Lord, and he'll provide my every need here in this world, and I might do his will, and also in the world that is to come. I shall not want. When I enter into the valley of the shadow of death, he shall be with me. That necessitates a true living, personal, saving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So here this morning we're coming to look upon this comfort that is uniquely Christian. Islam done cut when you come to face death. The Hindu doesn't have this when he comes to death. To know this comfort, you must be able to say, as Christ says here, I know the Holy Spirit. Indeed, as this whole passage teaches, you must be able to say, I know the triune God. I know God the Father, I know God the Son, I know God the Holy Spirit. This is the God of all comfort. But this ministry of comfort is especially attributed to the Holy Spirit. And so this morning I want to, in the first instance, draw your attention to the person of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. I need to say right away from the very outset, this great Comforter is God Himself, God the Holy Spirit. And we must emphasize that Jesus Christ refers to the Holy Spirit as another Comforter. He is another person within the Holy Trinity. He is not God the Father, he is not God the Eternal Son, but he is God the Holy Spirit, another person. Yes, one God, here's something that really will blow the mind. Here's something we cannot really fathom or comprehend. But while we have That is, God is made very clear when you begin to read down this passage and you discover the great attributes of the Holy Spirit. For one thing, we see here His omnipresence. In other words, He is all present. He is everywhere present. In human character text, verse 16, the Holy Spirit is revealed to be the Comforter who abides with the church always and forever. In all generations throughout history, the church has known the presence of the Comforter. And even go further, we say, every individual believer throughout history, in all times, in all places, we know the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's what Christ tells us here. You know Him. And if you don't know Him, if you do not have the Spirit of the Lord dwelling in you, then you do not belong to Jesus Christ. If you are a Christian, really and truly, in a saving, personal relationship with Jesus Christ, then you know His Spirit. And you will love the Holy Spirit, for He is equally God. As much God as the Father is God, as much God as the Son is God, and we must love Him so. I didn't pick the heavens this morning, but they were chosen well. As we were saying from the very commencement of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But here we come to see the Holy Spirit truly is God, and that is emphasized here by His omnipresence. He is everywhere present, not as well, in every believer, always, forever, at all times. Necessitates omnipresence. Only God can be everywhere at all times. Not even the devil can be everywhere present at all times. The devil is a mere creature. And no mere creature can be omnipresent. I know sometimes it seems like the devil is always with us, and certainly his influences are always present. But the devil is not omnipresent. We think even of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. The physical body of the Lord Jesus Christ is not omnipresent. That is one reason why we reject the Roman Catholic Mass, because they claim in the Mass that the bread and the paper as it is, and the wine, it is changed into the actual, real, literal body, blood, bones, and sinews of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then they prepare to actually sacrifice Christ the bread in the Mass. The Lord's body, isn't it? It's a blasphemous lie. The Lutherans have a similar idea that the real presence of the physical body of Christ is somehow there at the Lord's table. We're not producing that. I just can never come to terms with that. I can't understand that. I reject it. Because the Bible teaches us that the body of Christ healed at the cross, buried in the tomb, risen from the dead, has now ascended into heaven, and there it will remain until the second coming and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ in the flesh. The body of Christ is not only present. But as God, Christ is here. And here we discover the Spirit of the Lord is here. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 139, verse 7, whither shall I go from thy Spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence, if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there, if I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. There is no escaping the presence of the Holy Ghost. There are times when the Spirit of God intensifies the sense of His presence with us. There are times when the believer, because of our sin and our spiritual dullness, and we do not sense His presence with us, but He is always with us. God, the triune God, has promised, I will never fail thee, I will never leave thee, matter what your situation is this morning, no matter what circumstances you are going through today, and no matter what you feel, we're not opposed to feelings. Unless those feelings are opposed to the truth of God's Word. There are many in the form of circles and they have no time for feelings. They talk about living by faith. Well, we need to live by faith. But I want to tell you, if you're living by faith, you should feel the presence of God with you. There are times when our faith is weak and we feel the Lord is not with us, but He is with us still. God never abandons His people. God will never abandon you to your situation. God will never abandon you to your circumstances. God will never abandon you to the world. He'll never abandon you to sin. He'll never abandon you to the lust of your own flesh. He'll never abandon you to the devil. And I believe we have a word from God for our hearts this morning. Whatever circumstances we are in today, God is with us. Like those three Hebrews children in the fiery furnace, and the king of the enemy could see four persons. God is with us. God is with you. But we not only see His omnipresence here, we see His omniscience. In verse 26, the demonstration of the Holy Spirit knew everything that Christ had ever said to the disciples, whether in public or in private. He knew everything. That is emphasized as it's borne out. And if you turn your Bible very quickly to 1 Corinthians 2 and the words of verse 10, we discover that the Holy Spirit's knowledge is infinite. The Sabbath tells us that the understanding of the Lord is infinite. And here we read specifically of the third person of the Holy Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Now, God's knowledge is infinite. God knows all things. Remember what Peter said to the Lord Jesus Christ? Lord, Thou knowest all things. And he was speaking of His heart. Christ said, Peter, knowest Thou me? The Lord was peering into the very soul of that man. Peter said, Lord, you know my heart. You know my mind. With all my failure, with all my weakness, with all my sin, you know that I love thee. God knows it. Christ knows it. And here we just come to the Holy Spirit who's everything. But listen to what it says. We are told that the Holy Ghost, the Spirit searcheth all things. Yea, the deep things of God. The Holy Spirit knows everything God knows. The Holy Spirit searches the mind, the infinite mind of God. Your husband doesn't know everything about you. Your wife, your husband, I promise the best friend you have in this world next to Jesus Christ. But you don't know everything about that. There are children sitting here this morning. You've lived with your mom and your daddy all your life, but you don't know everything about them. Somebody else, their parents here. And you don't know everything about your children. Their wives, mothers, daughters, maybe husbands, fathers, sons, your nearest and your dearest on earth, have no idea of the burdens that weigh upon your heart. And there's a right here this morning. You wept yourself to sleep last night. As your husband lay beside you snoring. Oh, certainly we ought to be there one for the other, as we said earlier, as a congregation of God's people, with all our differences, with all our problems, we are to love one another, we are to care one for the other, we are to weep with them that weep, we are to rejoice. We are to know one another. God says in His Word that the congregation should know the minister, should know the elder. And the minister, the elder, the officer should know the flock. But no one will ever know you like God. There are things your nearest and your dearest know not this morning. Perhaps they don't understand how you're sitting in God's face and what burdens lay upon your soul. But there's one who knows. He says, I know. As he said of his people in Egypt in the house of bondage, I know their sorrows. The Holy Ghost knows you. He knew the very word you needed this morning when you came into this place. And here we see not only does He know your need, but He's able to meet that need. He's able to do for you what others cannot do with all their well-meaning intentions. Because here we discover not only the omnipresence, the omniscience, but the omnipotence of God's Spirit, the Comforter. Because Christ assured these disciples that the Comforter would support them, that the Comforter would strengthen them, no matter what. And my, what a dreadful future these men had awaiting them. Some of them were going to be persecuted, they'd all would be persecuted, but some would be put in prison, others would be put to death. Jesus beheaded, Peter in his head was crucified. But Jesus says, I will give you another comforter, one who will fortify you, one who will strengthen you and support you. No matter what this world has in store, one who is able for every situation in life. Now again, I don't know your situation. I don't know your personal circumstances. Maybe you're going through much worse than the disciples ever went through, but I doubt that this morning. But it could be so. But here we have an exceeding great and precious promise from the mouth of God Himself. I will give you a comforter who is sufficient for everything. Christ, when God saved them, when Christ called them, the Lord Jesus said, I will show him what great things he must suffer for my name's sake and for the preaching of the gospel. And suffer he did. Poverty and persecution, imprisonment, shipwreck. It was said of Christ that the foxes had holes, the birds of the air had their nest, but Paul could say, I have no care for family place. He was beaten, he was whipped, he was stoned, he was left for dead. The best thing they could do. Yet Paul writes of the God of all comfort, who is able to comfort us in all our tribulation. And no matter what you feel this morning, no matter what you think of Christ this morning, the Holy Ghost is sufficient for whatever you're going through today and for whatever you will go through tomorrow. Do you know? In this capacity, do you know him? Are you resting upon him? Do you know, do you experience the reality of his power and of his comfort in your life? Having considered the church, notice in the second place here, the purpose of the Holy Spirit. The great ministry of the Spirit according to our text is, of course, to comfort the people of God. But notice here this comfort that is uniquely Christian. It is inseparably linked to the Word of the Lord. And notice what Christ said there in verse 26. The Savior has said to the disciples, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you. There are many people. They don't want to be taught. They think they go to church to be entertained. Now certainly we should enjoy the house of God, there's no doubt about that. We should enjoy the worship of the Lord, the praise of God, the prayer, fellowship with God, the preaching of his word. We're to enjoy the Lord. Rejoice always in the Lord. Contentment. We do come to God's house to enjoy the Lord, but we come here to be taught. That means you have to use your mind. We're to love God, isn't that right? But all the heart, with all the strength, with all the soul, and what else? With all the mind. Some don't love Christ with their minds. They think they're saved, but they don't love the Lord. Not prepared to put their mind into gear. Peter said, Paul wrote many things far beyond their truth. Some things we'll never understand, but we have to think on these things. And here we discover the Holy Spirit comforts us, but he does so by teaching. It's not a matter of the Holy Spirit simply comes and throws his arms around and says, everything's going to be okay. What a miserable comfort that would be. Because everything is not okay. Your church brother, your church sister, maybe the minister can throw his arms around in the time of distress and trouble and say, don't worry, everything's going to be okay as a lie. Because it's not okay. You need somebody to comfort. And here God promises comfort through the teaching of the Spirit. What does the Spirit teach us? He teaches us the Word of God. Look at what it says. The Savior said to the disciples, verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. That refers to your mind again, deeply thinking.
remain. The word remain is there. Need to be reminded. Reminded of what?
Whatsoever I have said unto you, the word of Jesus Christ.
That's the source of the believer's comfort.
Now, in the strictest sense, please, the word referred to the Holy Spirit inspiring the apostles to write the New Testament. Christ promises them that he will move them by his Spirit, infallibly so, without error, to write his word, the New Testament scriptures,
for the comfort of the church. The all scripture from Genesis to Revelation has been written in scripture for the comfort of the church. Paul tells us that in Romans 15, verse 4,
for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. There is in learning, you need to learn. You're here to learn. You're here to be taught and thereby comforted. And those who have no time to learn, those who do not want to be taught, those who say have no time for doctrine, no time for theology, you're going to miss out with Paul.
And indeed, you're saved at all. I don't understand that kind of thinking, my Christian. Never understood. These people who come for a little sing-along, they don't want to be taught even our sin. Christ says we're to teach one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs the word of the Lord, the word of Christ. That's why you sin to be taught. Yes, to worship God. But as we worship God in our sin, we are teaching one another. Learning more about Jesus Christ, who he is, what he's done, what he is doing, what he will do. And as we learn, our hearts are filled with love and adoration for him, and we worship him in our sin, as we are taught. God save us from these hymns and choruses that are without teaching, without theology, without doctrine, without Christ. For whatsoever things were written before time were written for our learning, that we through patience and listen, comfort all the scriptures might have hope. How is it that a Christian can be overwhelmed with a sense of utter, total hopelessness? How can that be?
You can say, well, preacher, you don't understand my circumstances. You don't understand my situation. If you could walk in my footsteps, if you could put your feet into my shoes, you wouldn't say that this morning.
Well, I do say it. God has given us the scriptures that no matter what our situation, we might have hope. That means a holy confidence.
Could it be that you're overwhelmed with a sense of hopelessness this morning because of how you treat the Word of God?
Now you have your Bible with you today, I trust. What about yesterday? Did you take it up and open the Word of God and read? Or does the Bible sit this huge? But I can tell you this, a disused Bible results in depression.
Maybe you say, well, preacher, I need a Bible every day.
Well, do you believe it? Because this belief results in depression too. Do you believe the promises of God? Do you believe Jesus Christ is praying for you today?
Do you believe the Comforter exists? Do you know him? Is he a real living person in your heart, in your life? Do you fellowship with him?
Do you obey the Bible? Because disobedience leads to depression, hopelessness.
Well, I know there are medical conditions and
chemical imbalances and physical problems that require medication, all the rest of it. Those are very real things. We don't think little of those things. And some of God's people are sinking into the slough of the storm because of their neglect of this people. And they're losing out in the comfort that only God can.
But notice in closing here, and I know my time is gone this morning, but we're only getting here to the real crux of the matter today. While the great purpose of the Holy Spirit is to comfort us through the Scriptures, specifically the Spirit comforts us by showing us Christ in all the Scriptures. If you turn quickly to John 15, verse 26, the Savior continues his theology, his doctrine, his teaching about the Holy Spirit and his comfort, his ministry. In verse 26 of John 15, the Savior says, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." That is the great ministry of the Holy Ghost. He testifies to Christ. The Savior said in John 16, verse 14, again of the Comforter and his ministry, "He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you." That's what you need this morning. You need the Holy Ghost to show you Christ in the Scripture. And that's what you need every day.
That's what I need every day. The comfort of the sight of Jesus Christ. Remember those two disciples on the road to Emmaus? Their hearts had sunk into their boots. They were discouraged, they were downcast, they were in despair. And even when Christ drew near, they didn't even recognize the Lord. But what did the Savior do to comfort them? He opened the Scriptures. And beginning at Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And the prophets and the Psalms, the Old Testament, you see, is full of Christ. Beginning at Moses, he began to expound the Scriptures. I tell you, only we could have been there that day. No doubt there would have been some saying, "Oh, I don't have time to listen to this. The Lord's going on a bit long." You think about the beginning of Moses, the time you read all those Scriptures. The amazing thing is, those two downcast disciples, when Jesus vanished from their sight, they testify. Is not our hearts burning within us? While he talked, while he spoke to us by the way, when he opened the Scriptures, showed us his sufferings, showed us his glory. I want to tell you that's how the Holy Ghost comforts us today. He doesn't put his arm around you and say everything's going to be alright. He encloses you in those everlasting arms. And he opens your ears and opens your eyes. And he turns you to this old book. Seek a place alone with God, or in the public place of worship, through the preaching of His truth.
Holy Ghost streamed from him. From Genesis to Revelation, he shows us the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, who Christ is, what Christ has done, what Christ is doing now for his people, what Christ will do in the future. He shows us the suffering of Christ to comfort us. He shows us the cross. As Paul said, Christ crucified. He shows us that sacrifice for sin. I hear the words of love. I gaze upon the blood. I see the mighty sacrifice, and I have peace with God. You have that confidence now. He shows us who Christ is, God manifest in the flesh. He shows us what he has done. Fulfilled all righteousness on our behalf, providing us with a robe of spotless righteousness, whereby we are accepted in the beloved as if we had never sinned, justified, pardoned, our sins washed away. He shows us these great truths of the gospel. Our regeneration, our justification, our sanctification, our glorification. That's the comfort of the church. Do you know it today? Oh, that today the Holy Ghost has come. Open the scriptures and comfort us with a glimpse of the person